That. It's good to be with you this morning and to get to share worship together, and I have some things to share with you. First, our Lenten Bible study is going to begin this week. We've been already having some previews, Wednesdays noon and 6 p.m., but this week it begins in earnest for our Lenten time together, and we will be studying the texts from the Revised Common Lectionary each week. And I will give you a list of those that we can share together. And if you are available at either one of those times, it's going to be the same session at both times. So it's optional. You can make 12 noon one week and do the 6 p.m. the other week. But depending on work schedules and all, that's our plan, 12 and 6. This week, we will have an Ash Wednesday service at 6 p.m. So that will be our activity for the evening. We're going to have that, and we will celebrate the beginning of Lent as we worship God together. We will still meet at the noontime, though. Those are next Sunday is Communion Sunday, and we get to come to the table again and to feast on the Lord. And so, it's a great day to invite someone because we welcome all persons to the table. It doesn't matter what your heart is like, it matters what Jesus' heart is like. And so, if you're our guest this morning, we are so glad that you are here. We always love to have company, and you really only get to be company once, because after that, you're one of the crowd, and you're part of the deal. So we are happy you're here, and that we get to worship with you today. All of you, I encourage you to invite folks. Invite other people for Lenten time and for all of our times together in worship. I wanted to tell you that my wife Kathy is absent today because she is with her family in western New York, near Lake Chautauqua, over on the west side of the state, about as far as you can get from New York City. And she and her sisters are there for her mother's 90th birthday, and that's a really special thing, special treat. I am glad that that we get to have confirmation training today, and that we have a chance to go this afternoon with all of our confirmation students. There are seven of them when we're all there, and we are going to Creekwood United Methodist Church in Allen, Texas, to be with our bishop and with confirmands from all over the North Texas Conference. There will probably be 300 or 400 or 500 sixth and seventh grade youth, and or fifth and sixth and seventh grade. So we are going to have some wonderful time, some games and fellowship and music and worship, and a chance to let them hear from Bishop Mike McKee, my pastor. So it's really a wonderful thing. And Craig is going to go, and we will tag on that, and both of us go, and we'll keep everybody in line. I'm happy you're here for worship this morning, and I know there are other announcements that I should mention. Men's breakfast is tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock, but all of them are listed in your bulletin. Our Ash Wednesday service this week. Please pay attention to those and jump in as you can. Also, I wanted to mention that tonight at the light service at the Wesleyan Campus Ministry, David Kemp is going to be preaching, and I'm planning to go to that if we get back from the bishop's gathering in time. He is one of our senior graduate students at the Wesleyan. He is now living on the SMU campus in Dallas, but he's going to be preaching tonight at the evening service at 6 o'clock at the Wesleyan. With all of that said, and a hearty welcome to worshiping together in the name of Christ, let us begin our worship. Tyler?
Presence of the Lord is in this place. Praise the Lord with the sound of trumpet. Praise the Lord with the harp and lute. Praise the Lord with the gentle sounding flute. Praise the Lord in the field and forest. Praise the Lord in the city square. Praise the Lord anytime and anywhere. Praise the Lord in the wind and sunshine. Praise the Lord in the dark of night. Praise the Lord in the rain or snow or in the morning light. Praise the Lord in the deepest valley. Praise the Lord on the highest hill. Praise the Lord, never let your voice be still. Praise the Lord with the crashing cymbal. Praise the Lord with the pipe and string. Praise the Lord with the joyful songs you sing. Praise the Lord on a weekday morning. Praise the Lord on a Sunday noon. Praise the Lord by the light of sun or moon. Praise the Lord in the time of sorrow. Praise the Lord in the time of joy. Praise the Lord every moment, nothing. Praise the Lord in the peace and quiet. Praise the Lord in your work or play. Praise the Lord everywhere in every way.
While we're standing, I invite you to turn and greet our guests and greet one another and to share the peace of Christ our Lord. Our bulletin, and let's remain standing for that, sorry. And then I'm going to ask after that, after you take your seats, I'm gonna ask Craig to come and talk with you for just a moment about our confirmation class. So let us affirm this good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are redeemed. Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, and then to Peter and the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God. In whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of the cross reconciles all things to God. Amen. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. Please take your seats now, and we will not pass the peace again, not today anyway, but I would like to have Craig Jensen share with you for a moment about what we've been doing together, and he has had a huge part in it. And we've kind of tag teamed, but he's carried the best part of the load. And so I appreciate you, and I appreciate that you are committed to doing this. So let's hear from you.
Okay, today, that's why I'm dressed like this, we're headed to the Bishop's Rally. Yay. Confirmation is a very, very important time. Something's dear to me. This will be fifth class. It's at a very pivotal point in a child's life. It's a hard time. It's fifth to seventh graders. If you remember back, that can be a little topsy-turvy. But it's also a time when a child makes the decision to confirm their infant baptism. And we explore many things from creation. We explore ways of Methodism. We explore other religions. Denominations. We take the kids through as many things as we can. Stewardship, what a child can do, and what you can do for the church locally and as far and worldwide. But the main thing is that the parents have had the wheel through infant baptism up until you are where you are right now. And now it's their time to make a decision to accept the grace of Jesus Christ for themselves and confirm that infant baptism and become part of the local church and the worldwide church. So it's really exciting working with these kiddos. I have three of them here today. I want to introduce them. First of all, Rain, would you stand up? Rain Barton. Good. And her parents, Robert and Tonda, would you stand? There you go. All right. Then Jack Walker, parents Sam and Allison Walker. I think many of you know them. And then Brooks Clark, her and his mom, Chris Ann and Daniel. So go ahead and have a seat. They're the future of the church, and I think we're blessed.
Are also the present of the church, and so I'm proud to get to be with them and to be your pastor and to share in this important time in your lives. So let's have our smaller children now, or you can come if you want to, you confirmands, but let's have all our kids come down front for the children's sermon. Will you join me? I love hanging out with the kids, and that's great that y'all are all here today to share in this. So I want to ask you a question. Have you ever played with your shadow? You ever stood in the light and watched what your shadow does? What does it do? It follows. That's right. It follows you around, doesn't it? You've seen the movies about that, I'm sure, about Peter Pan. Wasn't it Peter Pan who lost his shadow? It came unstitched from him and went off on its own? That's kind of weird. That doesn't usually happen, though. But when we talk about our shadows, it's going to follow you around, and it's going to do what you do. And I think we should think about the fact that sometimes our friends look up to us and do that as well. Sometimes our friends or younger siblings. Or cousins will follow you and do what you do. And they look up to you because they admire you, they respect you, and they want to follow you and be like you. So, you know, that's important. I don't know if Zach's going to follow Britt around anymore. He was kind of stretching out over here. Well, I just want us to think about shadows for a minute and say, what kind of shadow you make depends on what kind of light is shining on you. And I put a picture on the cover of our bulletin today. You can see it when you get back to your seat. This is a color version of it, but it's a picture of a mountaintop with, y'all can look at your covers too. It's a picture of a mountaintop that's kind of dark and shadowy, but look at above it, there's a cloud there. And the sun is above that, and the cloud is making a shadow on the mountain. And I'm going to tell you a story in a few moments about this mountain and about Jesus.
I have that on my home.
Do you? You know all about it then. Well, this is a mountain that Jesus was on one time. And that story about it is what we're going to read about today in the gospel lesson. And it's what I'm going to share with you and tell stories about. So, that's why we're talking about shadows, but what kind of shadow you make depends on where you're standing and what kind of light is shining on you. And I'd like to just say that we read scripture and know that God is light, and in God there is no darkness, so no shadows in God. But Jesus also spoke about light, didn't he, when he said, "I am the light of the world"? And then he turned right around and said, "You are the light of the world." So light and shadows are an important part of our understanding of God. God is light, and in God there is no darkness. So I'd just like for you to ponder as we talk today about light and darkness and shadows, kind of ponder what kind of shadow you make and make sure that you make a good one. Okay? Would you bow with me and let's pray. God, help us to remember that we stand in your light and that others are watching where we go and will be following our shadows. Help us to stay in your light, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming to church today. I'm glad you're here. So our ushers are ready to come and collect up our offering. This too is an important part of our worship, because what we give matters to God. No matter how much or how little it is, what we give matters, and it matters to the local church as well. Because to fund and fuel the ministries that we share, it takes a lot of care and a lot of support, a lot of prayers. So let's dedicate all of our gifts, all the praises and the offerings that we bring to God today, with a word of prayer. God, we thank you for all that you've blessed us with and the many things that we have in our charge that we can use for ourselves or use for good in the world. Help us to use all holy things, especially our most important resources, as an offering to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, our hymn of prayer is number 2171 in the Faith We Sing, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace. It's a little different. Verse 1 and 2 are going to be the top half of the page. Verse 3 is the bottom half, and then verse 4 goes back up to the top. So a little different there, but just follow John.
Channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there's doubt, true faith in you. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there's despair in life, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, only light. And where there's sadness, ever joy. O Master, grant that I may never seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, in giving of ourselves that we receive, and in dying that we're born eternal life.
Confidence and hope that you hear us always, when we're by ourselves, when we're out in the woods, when we're at home in our own kitchens. We know that you hear us and that you are attentive to our prayers and that you cherish the times that we pause and acknowledge your Spirit and your grace that surround us. Help us to pour our hearts out to you and to know that you listen. Keep us in your care when we struggle and when we hurt and when we're afraid, when our world shows in a particular way the darkness that you have allowed for in your creation by setting a world in motion where humans have free will, where we can choose. We can choose God or not God. We can choose well or, well, we can choose terribly. Oh God, help us to get it right. You have created these beings, these human creatures, in your own image, which means that we have the power to decide. Help us to use that power well and wisely. Help us to make good choices. Help us to raise our children well and to be an influence on other children and young ones around us. Help us always to find our hope in you and to find our grace in your care. Oh God, to make wise decisions and to follow the pathways that you have called us toward and to step in your footsteps so that others who follow in our steps may find the way to you. And now, O God, in these holy moments, we are with you and you are with us. And we offer these prayers, lifting them to you all together in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who teaches us to pray together this, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's reading comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 24, verses 12 through 18. This can be found in your pew Bible on page 68. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you tablets of stone with the law and the commandment which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, "Wait here until we come again, for Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the clouds covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up to the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Come, we love the Lord, and let our joys be known.
Beautiful. Before I read the scripture, I'd like to call your attention to the cover of our bulletin today and have you imagine that picture in color, because it was in color, but it's not now. But that mountain is, as I talked with the children about it, that mountain is Mount Tabor in Israel. And I took that picture when I was standing on another hill overlooking this fertile valley. And that is the hill, that is the small mountain that in the scriptures is attributed to be the place where Jesus' transfiguration moment happened, where he went up on the hill and he was blessed with the light and of God, his Father, and our Father, and transfigured into a bright, shining Redeemer. And so it's a beautiful story. It's an affirmation of Jesus's call to ministry, and it's a reflection of what was read earlier in Exodus about Moses going up on a mountaintop and coming down with his face shining. And the difference is, I guess, Moses came down and everyone was scared of him because his face was so bright. What have you been doing, Moses? But for Jesus, it was a claim. It was an affirmation of his place as God's cherished son. And so with all that in mind, let us move into this and to hear these words, and in them, to listen for the word of the Lord. Matthew 17, verses 1 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter and James and John, his brother, and brought them to the top of a very high mountain. He was transformed in front of them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with Jesus. Peter reacted to all of this by saying to Jesus, "Lord, it's good that we are here. If you want, I'll make three shrines, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But while he was speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I dearly love. I am very pleased with him. Listen to him." Hearing this, the disciples fell on their faces with awe, filled with awe. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one else except Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Don't tell anybody about the vision until the Son of Man, the human one, is raised from the dead." This, brothers and sisters, is the word of the Lord for the people of God. I begin by asking you, how does a bright cloud cast a shadow? If you look at that picture again on the front of the bulletin, the underside of that cloud is kind of darkish, and the brightest part is on the top. It seems to be an affirmation that God in God's heaven, and this expressed through the sunshine, illuminated that cloud from the top and made that shadow on the top of that hill. Logical, right? And if that's what happened, then how did Jesus' face become brightly illuminated? It seems as though if we looked at the physics of it, Jesus' face would have been darkened by the shade.
How does a bright cloud cast a shadow? It was a bright cloud. Normally we think of clouds as something dark. The sky gets dark and it's rainy, and it may even look stormy or storms brewing in the west. It's kind of darkish. But this was not a storm cloud. This was a bright cloud. One that didn't shade from the light or block the light, but rather brought the light. I wonder how you are with clouds, how you are with being a cloud. Are you one of those clouds that causes the light to be blocked? Are you a dark cloud? Or are you a bright cloud? Are you one that lets the light shine through you and lets Jesus' light and love be reflected and even maybe magnified in you? Good question. I'm not asking you to answer it, except in your own spirit. I'm not asking you to ask each other that question. It's not fair. It's pretty personal. But I call you to spend some time reflecting with God and to answer that question for yourself. We have this beautiful story that we call the Transfiguration. And today, the last Sunday before Lent begins this coming Wednesday, we will have a service on Ash Wednesday. The details about that are in your bulletin. It'll be in our chapel down the hall. And I urge you to come as we begin a holy fast, a humble fast during the season of Lent. As we look toward Easter and the cross and Easter. Moses and the children of Israel who wandered in the wilderness were led by a pillar of cloud in the daytime and a pillar of fire at night. Those pillars went before them as if to become God's very presence, to lead them in their journey. It's puzzling why they got so lost. And if you ever go over there, you can see every piece of the ground looks about the same. Hope to plan a trip sometime, maybe soon. But it's easy to get lost if you don't have a guide, if you don't have a light for the way. And in our lives, it's easy to get lost as well when bad things happen to good people, when unspeakable things happen right in our own community, when darkness seems to bring the shadows more than the light, and when there aren't enough bright clouds to go around. Working with our confirmation class for Craig and I has been one bright moment after another. And it's such a joy to get to share with our youth, with our young ones in this journey of claiming their own faith. Up till now they have come to church and been a person of faith simply because their parents said, "Get up, get dressed, we're going to church. Brush your teeth." But now, as they claim their own faith and their own covenant with God through Jesus Christ and their own membership in the United Methodist Connection, they will be full adult members claiming their faith and walking in the light of Christ for themselves. They deserve their own pillar of fire and cloud to guide them, and that will come in many forms, most of which for the next few years are you parents who will keep guiding them. But you will have the church by your side to create a community of faith to guide them I'm preaching our confirmation sermon, Craig. That's a little early, isn't it? I've been thinking about that, too. That's one of the risks of getting ahead with sermon planning, is you tend to preach the wrong one or get off the track. But those are good tracks to get on. And they are good tracks for us to ponder and consider as we live out our own faith and faithfulness and as we influence the lives of not only our youth, but our other adults, our friends, our brothers and sisters that are right beside us, our spouses, our neighbors. You've probably got a neighbor you could invite to church. I hope you will. Now, there's one last question I want to ask you as we wind down here. And that's if a bright cloud shines on you, if a bright light shines on you, then what kind of shadow do you make? What shape would your shadow be? And I'm not talking about the size of your body. I'm talking about the size of your soul, your spirit. When we stand on Christ, we claim our faith in Him. When we listen to His teachings and live in His light, we are standing on solid ground. And that is where we need to stay and point the way for others. As we sing our hymn of invitation today, if today's a time for you to turn and trust in Christ, to claim this faith, to step toward Him, to confirm something in your life, to take a new turn and live in a different, under the shadow of a different cloud than what you've been used to. Or if you'd simply like to join this congregation of United Methodist people, we are treasured to get to walk by your side and share the light of Christ together. If any of these is your pathway today, or if you simply want to come kneel at the altar and spend some time praying, you are invited and welcome to do that. Let us sing our hymn of invitation. Tyler?
Yes, it's number 2173, also in the Faith We Sing, and we're going to sing verses 1 and 3.
to hear these words of blessing before these two young ladies carry out the light of Christ and we follow it out into the world, reflecting His grace. I encourage you to go from this place to grow in His grace and to glow with His face, the face of the risen Christ, our Lord. Amen.